following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Welcome back into the Miller Lite Dallas Cowboys Draft Show. Very excited. We are one day away. Does this feel real now, friends? I mean, this is like, holy cow. It is the night before. It is like Christmas Eve for us. All the draft preparation. It is finally here. Aisha Morrison with us here. Brian Broaddus, Nick Harris. I'm Zach Wolchuk. Brian, as somebody that's gotten to live this.
Yeah.
Now the hay's in the barn, as you would say, or is there still some tinkering and maybe some nervous ticks, like we're going to go ahead and still have some debates and conversations the night before?
Yeah, I think right now where it is it's about the mechanics of the draft and how you feel like that maybe some of this might fall ahead of you and potentially what could come from the rear of the draft. And I mean, the guys down at the bottom, the Buffaloes, the Baltimores, the Kansas Cities, the San Franciscos, maybe there's somebody in the top of the second round that's going to come diving up there, and you have to be prepared that if your guy is sitting there, that there's a possibility that you might lose your guy. So it's very nerve-wracking right now, but they're really just working on the mechanics of how this thing is going to fall, just much like what we've been doing with mock drafts, discussions. The pro guys are working the phones. You got buddies around the league that you really trust, and maybe they're not anywhere near you on the board, but maybe you got a friend of yours at a team that's, say, 15 spots ahead of you, and you're like, hey, what are you hearing, man?
Okay.
And then he tells you, I remember in a draft, the Marcus Ware draft, I got on the phone with John Gruden, who was ahead of us at Tampa. And that's when John took Cadillac Williams, the running back from Auburn. And I asked John, I said, hey, if you were to take a defensive player, who would you take? And he said, I would take Ware. I'm like, okay. And he goes, the only player that I'm hearing defensively that people would trade up for in this draft is Ware. And so I was like, okay, that's great information. So, yeah, you're trading a lot of information with your buddies. You're trying to get an idea of what's happening behind you. Again, it's all very, very important because you just don't want to get caught off guard that, like, you know, you're sitting there, everything looks comfortable, everything looks good, and then all of a sudden a curveball's thrown your direction, and you have to be ready to adapt, to change, to did we work the phones enough to where we can trade back if we have to. So the board's set, stack's set, everything looks pretty up there right now. You just wish those tags would start glowing for all the Hall of Fame players.
Yeah.
That are going to be in this class. But, it's an exciting time. And, you know, you could sit back and take a breath, but you just want to make sure you have everything kind of buttoned up with all your details, all your notes, and then have your scenarios ready if something were to happen.
Well, we'll get into some of those scenarios here with a little mock draft simulation, kind of see maybe what happens around the Cowboys pick. But yesterday, of course, we had the pre-draft presser. Nick, you were there, and you got to ask the question about, hey,
I think you asked the only draft question.
The trade back? I mean, how are we feeling? What were some of your takeaways from that?
Yeah, so we were able to get a draft question, and I was super excited about it.
I know you were.
Brian and I were just waiting the whole time. Where's the draft question?
I go, get ready. Nick's going to ask one right here. Okay, here we go.
But I asked about, not having those middle round picks. Yeah. Is there more of an intrigue towards potentially trading back if your guy is not there at 24? And Jerry Jones said it's very likely to have an opportunity to do that, given the right people left on the board or the wrong people gone off the board and the right trade. Later on, he said, really, there's a lot of variables here as to whether you'd go up or down. Obviously, we'd like to have some mid-round picks. So you take that and you understand, you know, kind of where their board is, and you would have to, I guess a little bit from our point of view, obviously. But for me, again, I still feel like if there's a certain handful of guys that are not there at 24, I think there's an opportunity to trade back. You look at Buffalo, you look at Kansas City, both of those teams potentially looking to move up and take a receiver. I think you could also look at Baltimore in that same sense, moving up to take a guy, whether that be a receiver or an offensive lineman. Granted, that would probably hurt the Cowboys, but they'd be able to move back six spots and still pick up some draft capital if they like multiple multiple guys still there late in the first round. But the way it's kind of shaping up right now, and all the smoke that's kind of coming out of, you know, potential day one trades, is teams are either going to be moving up for receivers or they're moving up for offensive linemen. Mm. And if you are the Cowboys, are you comfortable letting a team move up to take an offensive lineman that you potentially would have taken if that means you can get more picks in the next couple of days? So, you know, that's probably the conversation that they're having up there, and those are the things you weigh out. I think for me, I think there is a healthy handful of guys there in that 24 to 35 range that you can grab at any point, and I think be comfortable with. Obviously, you'd have some above others and things of that nature, but if your first round guys are gone, then maybe you look into that, and maybe you look into doing that. For me, again, it's Troy Faltanu, J.C. Latham, and Graham Barton. If those three guys are off the board, I'm getting on the phone. And I think, as of right now, this is just my personal belief, is Kansas City's the most likely opportunity.
Okay, wow. This is what I wanted to ask you guys. And we did the show where we traded back, and we kind of talked about what you could get out of that, the threes and the fours, depending on where you get to. Handicap the teams that are more likely to trade up behind you. If you had to say Baltimore, Buffalo, San Francisco, Kansas City. Rank them, because in my mind, I don't see the Ravens as a trade-up team.
I don't think so either.
Ravens, to me, have always had a history of they sit there and the best player falls right to them every single time.
You think, darn, that's a great pick.
Yeah, as Aisha likes to talk about chaos.
Yeah.
Ozzie Newsome and that crew over there, the chaos, it's the old meme where the building's burning and everybody, and the little character standing there as things. It's okay. That's the Baltimore Ravens to me. But if I had to handicap the teams that could be super aggressive here, I don't know what order I would put them in between Baltimore, San Francisco, and Kansas City.
Yeah, San Fran needs offensive line.
I do think Buffalo is the team for me. I'd put it at one.
Yeah.
Buffalo, because I think you mentioned chaos. I think Brandon Bean likes that.
I think he does too.
I wouldn't be shocked if we saw Buffalo get super aggressive. They try and go Atlanta Falcon Julio Jones-esque.
Wow.
Like, they say, hey, we want Rome Odunze, right? We want one of these elite top three receivers, and they're trying to talk to move up into the top 10 of this draft. I could see Buffalo pulling the trigger on something wild like that.
I could see that as well, just because there's some pressure there in that organization with how they've not, you know, risen to the occasion, and obviously the loss of Stephon Diggs this offseason as well. To your point, they very well could be trying to make sure they get a receiver in there to make sure they can continue to do what they want offensively.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know if you agree, Aisha, I'd probably go Buffalo, Kansas City, San Francisco, and then Baltimore in that order.
I would switch San Fran and Kansas.
I would too.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to just think back on when has San Francisco really moved.
They did a great trade with you. They drafted a safety the year you took. It's so funny.
Yes.
The year you took Travis Frederick.
Okay, that's a good point.
And maybe this is the deja vu moment here for your Dallas Cowboys. But, you probably need a center. And but Dallas ended up taking Travis Frederick. They took a safety, my LSU safety.
It was your LSU safety.
Yeah. So it was, to me, I think Kansas City – I would rate Kansas City over San Francisco on the aggressiveness meter. Buffalo, I would put in there, because you're right about Brandon Bean.
He's wild.
Brandon Bean's attitude is like, listen, if I don't do something and we don't win, I'm going to get fired.
Eric Reed. That's
who
the safety was.
Yeah, there you go. Massive trade.
Yeah.
They went from the bottom of the draft to the middle of the draft. So, let's see. I just wonder what teams, if I had to, I don't think Baltimore is the team. But I think all those other ones are in play.
I'd go KC 1, 2, San Fran 3, Buffalo 4, Ravens. Because it also has to work for both sides. And if it works for the Cowboys, it means that they have to pick up capital in this draft. You look at what Buffalo has. They don't have a third. They do have 2/4.
Yeah.
And then they have a mid-second. So I don't think that they would move off that second. So you'd probably be looking at either both of those fours or a fourth and a fifth. That would be kind of the question there. For Kansas City, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh.
Yeah.
So pretty straight down the line for the 49ers. First, second, third, and then 3/4. So that's something to keep an eye on. And then the Ravens, first, second, third, 2/4.
3/4, you said?
Yeah, 3/4 for the 49ers.
Wow.
One in the Trey Lance trade from the Cowboys, their own pick, and then they got a compensatory pick as well.
I ain't going to give that back.
No.
They like, we already took it. Why would we give it back?
Yeah. Okay, let's
look it would make it a lot easier to stomach, for sure.
Right.
Let's look at some of the simulation here. What's going on around the Cowboys pick at 24? This stuff always kind of gets me giddy, especially the day before the draft.
It gives me anxiety. Go ahead.
This is interesting because you do have some sliding offensive tackles that we like here.
Okay.
So Fuaga, Oregon State, ends up going to the Bengals at 18. Fell a little bit. I think we're looking at him maybe even going into the top 10. Yeah, 18. How about Troy Fautanu, the offensive tackle from Washington, goes 19 to the Rams. So you got two tackles going 18-19. Right in front of you, Minnesota takes Powers Johnson at 23. So there's a center off the board.
Okay. I know in that situation Minnesota makes that pick. I said this yesterday, and I believe it. I think this could be New England's pick. I think that might be somebody's pick at when we start this day. I could see New England bailing out of there on three.
Yeah.
I know they're talked about, I just think that Minnesota, someone's going to get aggressive. Minnesota is, I think, going to get aggressive with that third pick if they can get it. If I was in Dallas's war room, I would be planning on somebody else picking ahead of me other than Minnesota at 23.
Yeah, Chargers also have to be a thought. I think Broncos are probably a thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot. I'm with you. I don't think Minnesota's picking at 23.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to package both their picks, move up. I think you make a good point about New England.
I just think you have to be, again, Elliott Wolf. Elliott's really the interim general manager.
A lot of needs.
Yeah, has a lot of needs. He knows what his team is. He knows he has to have a quarterback. How far back can he go to get a quarterback? I just think if you're Dallas, you have to be ready for somebody else picking in front of you, other than the Minnesota Vikings.
I think we would
But go ahead and say it again. Yeah. Offensive lineman. When was the first tackle taken? Do you have that ability to tell me? Because we talked about when the tackle run was going to start.
It actually started at 9 with the Bears. They took Olu Fashanu.
Okay.
At 9, he was the first tackle off the board from Penn State. Alt ends up sliding to 14 in this simulation with the Saints. And then you had Mims go 16 to Seattle, Fuaga 18 to the Bengals, and Fautanu at 19 to the Rams.
Can you tell us the first five? Like, is it wide receiver? Or is it a mix?
Okay, you've actually got a pretty good selection here of guys to choose from. Byron Murphy out of Texas would be my highest rated player. Yeah. Cooper DeJean is there, the cornerback at Iowa. But then the two guys to the Cowboys, I mean, we're assuming offensive line, J.C. Latham. Mm-hmm. Is still there from Bama, which I know you talked to a GM buddy, said there's no way this happens.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, the thing about it is, my guy was like, he when I mentioned the names that, you know, off the what you were talking about, the guys that you were holding, I gave him the three names that you like, and Latham being one of them. And he goes, man, Latham ain't going to be there for you guys.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
So he, you know, and I'm like,
I mean, this simulation, I'm like, should we redo the simulation? I don't think this is accurate at all. But you never know. That's the craziness of the draft.
The craziness of the draft. But I think you have an idea. You're just trying to get an idea where this run might start. And where are you going to be in the run? Are you going to, you know, the fact that it's, I'm okay, you know, with these I don't know about you guys, and Aisha, you've accused me of this, and you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I'm hell-bent on getting a center. I really am.
I'm feeling the same way.
I am hell bent on that, and because I just feel like though that maybe that center can help me more right now than that tackle. Because I just in my mind I know, and Nick, I know this drives you damn nuts. I know in my heart I can move that left guard to tackle if I had to.
Yeah. It doesn't drive me nuts. I understand it, but it's just not my preference. But I understand.
No, I don't think it's the Cowboys' preference either.
Yeah.
I don't think it's their preference either.
So in this situation, I think you're right in terms of Latham, Barton, and then Guyton's the best tackle left out of Oklahoma. So those would be probably your top five options there, Aisha. Murphy out of Texas, Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, and then the three offensive linemen with Latham, Barton, and Guyton.
I talked to a team that kind of has an understanding with Jacksonville. What's Jacksonville? Are they at 17?
18?
18,
yeah,
17?
And Jacksonville went with Robinson out of Penn State.
They went Robinson? At 17?
At 17.
I feel like...
Rich.
Jesus.
I feel like, yeah, there's some slander going on there. It is a little rich. The Jacksonville, I was getting the hint or the whisper that they're looking at corner.
Makes sense, yeah.
And I was even asked about your guy, DeJean. I was asked about DeJean. What do you think about him? And I said, you got to take Mitchell. Mitchell's the guy you got to take.
And there was a little bit of a run on the corners.
If Arnold's gone. That's I know on your board, on your board, Arnold would be the second guy. I think I got that right.
Yeah.
And I've got that flipped. I've got Arnold 1 and Mitchell 2. But Arnold was gone in this simulation at 12 to Denver. They're going to pair two Alabama corners there with Surtain and Arnold. That's pretty nice. Yeah. And then you had back-to-back corners go with Mitchell to Miami. Nate Wiggins from Clemson ends up going to Philly at 22. But in this scenario, I think the Cowboys are pretty happy at 24 with Latham and Barton both sitting on the board.
Mitchell to Miami would be nasty. Go ahead. Go ask your question.
Wait, say it again. Man. Mitchell?
Mitchell to Miami. The Dolphins.
Oh, that would be nasty.
I'm not in the mood.
How would you feel about Wiggins at Philadelphia? Would it be like, you know, okay.
That's one of those, like, pen throws for me. That's fine with I'm not as high on Wiggins.
I don't think that.
I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with Nate Wiggins going to the
Eagles. It sounds so terrible, but Philly hasn't shown me they know how to really coach cornerback over there as of the last year.
No, they haven't. You're being honest.
So I don't care. Because guy Sidney Brown over there looking crazy.
Yeah, they've had to go outside the organization, bring in Darius Slay, bring in Bradberry.
Fired.
Yeah.
Safety.
Yeah.
They've been.
Any of the guys that they've drafted and tried to develop, you're 100% right. That has not worked for them.
It's kind of like the Giants and offensive linemen.
Yeah.
They've thrown a lot of resources
at. But talk about players we could be totally wrong about. Wiggins is that guy for me. I got a 2 on Wiggins. But a lot of people love Nate Wiggins, man.
They're scared of that 173, guys.
Yeah.
Speed is real
The speed is legit.
The speed is his best attribute.
Yeah, because a guy asked me in the league this morning, he goes, what do you think about Wiggins? And I'm thinking, well, he's 173. The guy's, yeah, he is. And I go, but you know the thing about him is if he misses on the press, the way he recovers, the foot quickness, the speed, and all that.
He can mirror.
Yeah, I think that's his saving grace right now is that the ability to mirror right there. But we're in good shape because
in
this simulation right here, you Barton. Okay.
And Latham.
Power rank the guys you got Latham too. Power rank the guys that you have available. Mm.
Oh, man.
Is that Byron Murphy, Latham? Who else?
Latham, Barton, Murphy, DeGene Guyton.
That's my order.
That would be mine, too.
Yeah, that's my order there.
And you guys know my affinity for Barton, but I've got J.C. Latham just a little bit higher than him on my stack.
Who's the last guy?
The last guy I put in was Guyton, Oklahoma. Because I got DeGene graded a little bit higher than Guyton. I don't have Guyton in the first. I've got Guyton as a second-round tackle. Ah, that's tough. With Latham and Barton, I think that's what the war room debate ends up being. Do you want – and then Latham, I assume, would be a guard.
I have to get over myself.
Yeah.
And they're in for them. So, I mean, that comes down to do you want to go ahead and fill your center need with Rand Barton, who also has position flex?
I don't think Latham would necessarily be like a home run guard, though, like right off rip. I think they could go into OTAs, go into training camp, and see what he could do at tackle. And I think he could play left tackle for this organization, especially if they feel like they can keep Tyler Smith where they want to keep him. I think J.C. Latham could play left tackle.
I mean, I haven't spent a ton of time talking J.C. Latham because I just think he's a realistic option.
Yeah.
But you talk about, you know, adding both these guys. That's why I love them.
Yeah.
The attitude, the toughness, the physicality. I mean, one thing I think we've all seen when you watch the Cowboys trying to run the football, at least last year, they struggled to get movement in the running game.
Yeah.
Both these guys are helping with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did want to ask, like, because Brian brought up, you know, that you feel like tackle isn't as important as center. I do think we do have to look within our division and see what is most team's strengths and where they're really attacking you. You do have a quarterback that is able to be able to see and evade pressure or whatever from the tackle
handles
position.
Handles the edge
but,
as well.
Yeah, but the interior is most concerning. So
I like that view. So I think you're right. I think when you think about initially all three teams in your division, their strengths are in the middle.
Yeah.
If you want to build your team to win the East, I think you want your interior offensive play to be better here, and that makes maybe Barton – move up ahead of Latham in the conversation, unless you're playing Latham at guard, Brian.
See, that's, again, I totally respect what you're saying about Latham playing tackle, playing left tackle. It's so funny because I'm not trying to get influenced. This guy that I talked to scouts the Southeast, and I've known him for a long time, and you know his whole thing was about Latham was, I don't think he could play left tackle.
And I agree
with right
that.
Tackle. But, man, the guard aspect to him. Yeah. I went back and looked at my stack from that because I was curious about the players that were left. Out of that group, I have Murphy as the highest rated player.
I do too. I've got Murphy as the 9th best player on my board. I don't know where you guys
number
have
nine
them.
Overall. Wow.
But Murph, but the problem for me is, and this is again,
I got him at 14.
Where do I have? I got him at 17.
So if we're not window dressing the board, we're taking best player.
Yeah, but that's
I don't think they would be doing that. I don't think they'd have the conversation with Murphy in here, considering you took Mozzie last. That's where this gets tricky.
I'll say this: Aisha brought something up on one of these shows about what's the one thing that the surprise. Mm-hmm. And are they going to take a three technique at 24? I don't think they will, but to me, if they did it, I can't kill him on it.
Well, that's the guy to do it with. He's the best one in the class.
Yeah.
Special, rare player.
But I just told you, I'm dying for a center.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, then,
somebody be the voice of reason here.
Let me throw a scenario on the table. If Byron Murphy's the best player on the board, and they take that three tech.
Talk to me, Nick. Talk to me.
He's about to make a scene.
Then there's a potential trade opportunity with a three tech that you might have on the roster for a later round pick. And I wonder if that's even a thought. And I know this organization is not high on trading current assets, and they haven't been for a while, but I think that's just kind of a draft scenario you have to think about. Mm. Me personally, I think Osa Adigizu was a phenomenal three tech in this league, and I think he would be just fine being there for the next 5, 6, 7 years. I think he has that potential. I think he has Pro Bowl potential.
Sure.
But, you know, can you pass up a talent like that when it's staring at you at the base of 24?
You don't got... You're going backwards.
I don't think it'd be tough to sell any of us on Byron Murphy there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair, but you...
Yeah, we just lost half our listeners.
You just can't
Nobody wants to hear us talk taking
but
a defensive tackle.
But here's the thing, again, that's why we're talking... You talk about if you draft, you're stacking it for a reason, Brian.
Absolutely right about that. I will also say this, though. I've got that Powers Johnson right behind him. You know, I mean, in a couple of spots, if you just... The way the stack fell for me, it was funny because I asked that question because I wanted to see if I was the only guy and gal that had Byron Murphy that high on my stack.
I've got Murphy as a top 10 player in the draft.
No, he's serious business.
He is.
Yeah.
I mean, and he gives you – he's stopping the run on the way to the quarterback.
Listen, I'm just – I have him at 15, so just let me make it. But
okay. Yeah. It sounds like I've got him the highest at 9.
But I just – the idea of them trading away –
from two of those linemen that we really like a lot, with Latham and Barton. That's
I just
a tough
think
one.
You can't take, like, that position you can't take away from right now. Like, you don't have nothing at DT.
Yeah.
You ain't got nothing.
100%. Just a thought. Just a thought.
No,
let me just throw one.
I would hate it, but it's just a thought.
So with three stud players that we like a lot, and I know we got to get to Twitter on the 20
here in a second. Wait, can I ask one more question real quick? So if Byron Murphy goes, like, at 9 or 10, are we going to be a happy group?
Yeah, because that means that's
because
just,
it takes him out of our equation.
I think that's
just one more tackle on the board.
Because this is a problem for us right now.
I'm stressed.
This is a problem. This is a stressful conversation. Washington gets on the phone here in this simulation. They say, all right, you guys want to back out of the first round here. We'll give you pick 36, and we'll also give you pick 67 in the third.
That's it? Just 67?
They're throwing
third?
In a seventh, pick 222, but they're giving you their two and their three. So like now you're adding 67.
I feel like you could get a better deal out of Kansas City there.
Kansas City doesn't offer anything in this.
They don't offer anything
Kansas
there.
City doesn't. Now, Houston does. Houston offers 42 in the second round, 86 in the third, and then you can get an extra sixth round pick with pick 188.
42 is tough to stomach.
See, that's why I didn't – the only trade offer to me that I like is Washington here.
This is where, at 42 to Houston.
I'm talking to you, Dan.
Now, if the 42 to Houston, that gets me my BYU tackle, I believe.
Yeah, potentially, but you'd be sweating it. You'd be
42?
Do you think Jordan Morgan could fall to 42?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but...
So if Tennessee does not grab Joe Alt there in the first round, then they are going to be tackle hunting potentially there at 38. You're also looking at New England potentially tackle hunting there at 34.
I'll get on the phone and tell Elliott Wolf if he needs to do something different.
Okay, what about Zach Frazier, West Virginia center at 42?
You're looking You're looking at Green Bay potentially.
Right behind you, I'm nervous about.
Green Bay is curious what you're going to be doing now. Matter of fact, my phone's blowing up about Green Bay.
Are they?
Green Bay, him.
Because they know the Cowboys are right in front of them, probably going to take their guy.
Yeah.
I think that could be a fight for Barton right there.
Really quick before we go to break, if I could, really quick, Zach, this was mentioned yesterday in the presser. It was a question. I forget who it was from, and I forget how it was phrased, so forgive me here. But it was along the lines of if there is a same graded player on your board, interior versus tackle, how do you kind of juggle those two positions the draft and at 24. This is what Mike McCarthy had to say. He said, I think it's very important, but I think you just don't go too far, and I'm talking about our division games. I think the defensive tackle play in our division is as strong as I've ever seen.
There you go.
He said that. I remember the answer.
So so Latham and Barton, I think definitely they're in the conversation. They're over a Guyton from Oklahoma. That answers the question. Okay, let's get to more of those. Twitter on the 20 coming up on the other side here as the draft show rolls on.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to Laser Care Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and Laser Care Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
DallasCowboys.com draft show.
Okay, some Twitter on the 20 about to happen here on the draft show. I do want to let everybody know about the awesome Cowboys draft weekend events. Of course, we want you to be plugged in here on the draft show all 3 days, courtesy of DallasCowboys.com and 105.3 The Fan. But starting tomorrow, you can come out to the Star in Frisco for the Cowboys draft weekend presented by Miller Lite. Party going to start 6:30. You can enjoy live draft coverage, player appearances, live performances, and more. Then Friday, you can come on back. Draft night with alumni, Dallas Cowboys cheerleader appearances at the Miller Lighthouse. Then we're going to finish strong on Saturday with the Draft Day 5K presented by Baylor Scott and White Health. For more details, you can visit DallasCowboys.com/draft. We're looking forward to that. We've had a lot of trade conversations, and that's going to be some of the topics here as we get into some Twitter on the 20. Thank you, Beamer. Okay. I had some questions about, like, double dipping on the trade scenarios here. I think this would have
to
be
Brahms.
Yeah, we're getting that double dip cone. Like, do you see any scenarios? Because you gave us four or five different teams that are picking behind the Cowboys. And if you're in a situation where Latham's not there, which we don't expect, maybe you do get a run on the tackles. Maybe Barton gets higher and Jackson Powers Johnson. Maybe there's a conversation where he's not in consideration there at 24. Do you double dip, possibly move back twice in the first round? Is that something that is even a topic of consideration, because Walker Davies asked, can I interest you in trading back and into the top five of the second round? Because if you look at the last 4 years, that's kind of become a sweet spot of where some real stud players have been selected. Last year, Joey Porter Jr., Sam Laporta, you had Steve Avila, the TCU guard. Year before that, you had Breece Hall, Petrie, the safety from Baylor. I mean, this goes back where you sleep on it, top of the board day two. Now you're going to get some guys that maybe you still had some first-round grades that slipped.
I'm with it. I'll go far back as 35. That's maybe 30. You could tempt me to 37, but okay. I'm okay with going back to the top five of the second round, because that probably means you're picking up quite a bit of capital.
Yeah, like how many extra picks do you think you could get four if you move back twice?
Three to four.
You think
we're
adding a third? We're adding an extra second?
Yeah, it depends on where you're going to. Yeah. You know, that's always the key. You know, of course, you got to map it out. But also, those teams, you want to target teams that have extra picks. Like, you know, like we tried to trade up to the Chargers. They've got two fourth round picks. You know, so yeah, we were trying to, or two third round picks. We were trying to kind of find spots that, you know, team. It's a little bit easier for a team with multiple picks to trade to, because they're more willing to part with one of those picks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I don't want to have – I know we're just doing hypotheticals, but my brain can't go that far.
For two trade backs?
We're in, like, a fairy tale land. Like,
yeah. If you can get one good one.
Listen. But, no, I think you bring up a really good point that's kind of become a sweet spot, and that's a trend that we're kind of starting to see, that a lot of teams are starting to sleep on it and be able to do some things coming out day two. So, I don't expect fireworks, but I expect some sparklers.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, we had Chris, who gave us a good hypothetical. If Buffalo wants to come up for a receiver, you end up getting an extra fourth or a late three. Does a team like Carolina or New England, Brian, then want to come up?
Buffalo does not. Do we determine that Buffalo doesn't have a three, right?
Correct.
Okay. Buffalo does not have
Buffalo
a three.
Buffalo does not, because I was trying to get one of those threes, one of those late threes.
In fact, Buffalo doesn't.
Detroit's the team behind you that doesn't have. They'd have to give you next year's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they ain't got.
They got nothing. The Ravens. We talked about them. They're going to probably sit. San Francisco's similar to what the Ravens would have. I think you pick up an extra three there. That's really that. But Kansas City's the one where you can potentially get the three and the four.
Yeah.
Out of them. Okay, so you want to go back again? How far back do you want to go? I mean,
yeah, if you're looking at New England, what would that be? 42?
That's actually 30.
34. Well,
that's 34.
34.
Yeah.
So New England's there at 34. Now, New England's got that pick 103, which is the third pick of the fourth round, that I know is gold when you're talking about the start of day three, if you wanted to try and get that one as well. So that'd be an interesting conversation.
You could also look at the Cardinals. They're at 35. Three third round picks. They got 66, 71, 90, and then they have 104 at the top of day three.
Are those all Houston's picks?
The Houston pick is 90. That's okay. The 71 is from Tennessee. I'm trying to that would be the Hopkins trade, I would assume.
Yeah.
Houston's got a lot of ammo, man, because they've got pick 86 they got from Philly.
Yeah.
There's real jealousy, I feel, for what's going on in Houston.
Yeah, Houston's doing a good job this offseason.
But no, I expect the Cardinals to be active.
Yeah, you were mentioning
really
that yesterday.
I really just think they're going to be active in some of the things they do, whether it's at pick, what, four or, 27. They pick after us, and we haven't really mentioned.
And then they're picking at 35. I mean, maybe that's a move back. You pick up 27
and
35.
Yeah, I mean, to have a 27 and a 35, like, I'm still learning, y'all. Yeah. But those are pretty close together.
Right.
You know, you don't know if a team is, like, wanting to keep those. I think they're going to be active. In round one.
I'm with you.
Yeah, first-year GM. Curious to see what he does there.
Yeah.
And they're just nuts.
All right, let's go to Adam D'Souza, who asks us, in honor of Kyle Yeomans and the marathon-worthy pick, who's a player for us that would be marathon-worthy if the Cowboys ended up selecting them at 24? Do you have a guy?
I'm not running a marathon.
That you'd run a marathon if they ended up taking him?
But Troy Faltanu. Yeah,
I've started to really if that pick happens, that'd be because that guy to me, like I first watched him play, I'm thinking body type, that's a guard, but you see the nimble feet. He's taller than I thought that he would be when he measured in the combine. He is athletic enough to play tackle. I think he could play maybe all five positions. I mean, I think the intelligence is there to even play him at center in a pinch, but I think he'd be an excellent guard, but I think he absolutely could play tackle at the NFL level.
I'll tell you what, instead of running a marathon, I'm going to be a big-backed individual real quick, and I'm going to flip it really quick. If Troy Faltanu was picked at 24, I'll do that little waffle challenge where you have to be in the
Let's go, the 24-hour waffle house challenge?
Yeah, the 24-hour
waffle house. So every waffle you eat, an hour is taken off your sentence. Okay, but I like this. Brian, do you have one, or do you want to co-sign with Faltanu?
Faltanu is the guy, absolutely.
You joining me at Waffle House?
Okay.
I might have to. I'll tell you what, though. That's the great thing and the beauty of the draft. You just don't know if there's going to be somebody. You feel like that you do all this work and line these guys all up, and then maybe there's somebody that does, you know, somebody says, well, no, we're just going to go with this guy. We like this guy a little bit better. But I would be super excited if he.
I mean, the leverage he plays, it's so natural for him. His pass sets, the quickness out of his stance. I mean, Beamer's rolling the B roll here in that national championship game.
It don't matter who the player is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any player in the first round at 24 that you'd be oh my gosh, this would be. It's like the CeeDee Lamb pick at 17. Nobody thought CeeDee's going to be there. He ends up being there. Kyle runs
a
marathon.
Who's a player you got, though? Who's a player you really, really want?
I mean, listen, I think Brock Bowers in this offense could be very helpful.
Okay. Wow.
But I was going to say, just as a random player, if Jaheim Bell comes here from FSU, I'm going to faint.
Okay.
I don't think that, and again, we haven't talked about, we ain't touched tight end. Why? I don't know. Because we ain't got no proven tight ends besides 87.
Yeah, Fergie.
Yeah, but it's so funny yesterday they were talking about Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Jones
In fairness, they had plans for him. If you watch,
they do. They absolutely
He had made the team before the injury.
You're right about Bell, by the way.
Yeah.
You're right.
But Jaheim Bell is an alien.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he can put him anywhere you want. He is a ton of fun.
And when you talk about, you know, we've mentioned some of the other gentlemen, like that these teams are kind of looking for that Debo-esque type vibe guy, and I feel like he can do some of that stuff even though he's considered a tight end. But as far as Stevens goes, if you watch the preseason, even some of the play designs were play designs we never seen no more after he wasn't on the field no more. They were trying different things with him where they had him slipping and had him in motion and stuff because he does have some receiver-esque qualities. And I know a lot of us were worried about, is he going to be able to stand in line and block? I think in the preseason he even showed that he at least had the effort to want to do that. And he's not super physically imposing, but he was a willing blocker when we got to see him. So I do understand that maybe they do have some upside or things that they think from Stevens and those guys. But I don't know. I mean, I think maybe day three, possibly.
But I think it's one of those things like Bobby's talked about. You've got to trust the evaluation, Bobby Belt.
Oh. Who will be with us? You got to trust
like Scooney.
Right? Okay, like, baby, are you ever going to be able to run the ball in 12 personnel?
Well, if you can't run the ball in 12 personnel with Scooney, then you misevaluated him. Because what were we talking about this time last year with Schoonmaker? Best blocking tight end in the draft.
I'm the guilty one here.
If Scooney can't figure it out, then you know what? We just missed on the pick there.
I'm ready to go to court.
But I think even the blocking is great, but I think the lack of receiving quality, man, listen. There's a team that watches the same film you do, and they see that's not happening. So he is right, like Bobby said, he is going to have to take a step up or whatever. But it just gives me anxiety because you got a lot riding on
this season.
You
got knocked off the ball at tight end, so you need Fergie to improve there, be more consistent. You need Schoonmaker to round into form of the player you thought he would be. But I do think with Stevens and Ferguson,
it's going
to
be a good.
You've got two guys there that I think can give you receiving threat. But that's interesting. I mean, like Jared Wiley out of TCU, that's not a guy that can block. But you talk about a Travis Kelce-esque
same player
receiving threat. Yeah. Wiley special in that regard. I mean, if you want to get a receiving type of tight end.
I just feel completely different about the tight end position than
how do you
than
feel
you
about
guys.
It?
I feel like Jake Ferguson really took a step forward as a run blocker last year.
Top five tight end, in my opinion.
Take the receiving ability away. I'm talking as a run blocker. I think he took a really big step last year. I think that kind of helped be able to bring Schoonmaker in once he came off that plantar fascia. Granted, Schoonmaker has to be able to take a big second year leap. That needs to happen.
But you
got two receiving tight ends behind those guys and Peyton Hendershot and John Stevens Jr. Sure, you can bring in an undrafted guy to kind of elevate the competition in that room, but if they're spending a draft pick on a tight end, I'm I don't know. I feel some type of way about that. I feel the same way about quarterback or safety. I think those are the three positions you don't need to touch with.
Yeah, I'm okay with not touching a tight end. I think we could. I could argue for safety. We can talk about that on the other side. What do you got, Aisha?
No. I was gonna say. I mean, in theory, yes. My point is that in this season, you really there's a lot weighing on this season, and to me, neither one of those gentlemen that you just mentioned, like. Peyton Hendershot's been here, well, this is his third year, and Hen Dog is my dog, you know what I'm saying? Like, I respect the player, but at the same time, what did we see from him last year? Yeah. I know he was injured. Yeah. I know he was dealing with injuries, but it's not enough to ride on and be like, yeah, for sure. And then I don't know. I feel differently about it. I do think John Stevens has more of a
potential upside.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think he has the opportunity because I'm not saying that Peyton's not capable. We just ain't seen it yet.
I think I was more disappointed in Schoonmaker than I was Hendershot.
That's fair.
I kind of feel like I know what Hendershot is.
Yeah.
I felt like that Schoonmaker was going to come in here and be a guy that when you put him at the point of attack in line, he was going to be able to work with either Tyron Smith or work with Terrence Steele, and they were going to be able to control the edge, and they were going to be able to run the ball. They just couldn't do it with that.
Yeah. Man, I do remember Dalton Schultz. You know, first year didn't go well. Schultz, is he going to be making the roster? Dalton Schultz turns into a Pro Bowl tight end
Lunda we trust.
You know, I'm overall, I lean with you, Nick. I don't think you have the luxury to spend a pick on a tight end with all of your needs, but depending
on
how the board
feels. If you guys trade back six times, maybe you can.
Maybe. maybe.
Pick up 10 picks.
Okay, let's go ahead and step aside. When we come back, who's a player that you would pound the table for that maybe we haven't talked about? Let's give some guys some love that haven't been getting it. That's next on the Draft Show.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer 6 different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into 2 new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie Bowls, now in 2 new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Cowboys. Okay, my goodness, it's here. This is our final segment before we jump on the air tomorrow night.
Let's
for
go.
The first round of the NFL draft.
It just hit me as soon as you said that.
It just hit me as Reem's like, rejoiners up, let's go. Of course, we love you and we appreciate you rocking with us throughout this entire thing. I know there were so many Twitter questions that we weren't able to go to because we all just end up having so much fun talking and kicking around all these hypotheticals. Of course, segment brought to you by Ford, your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. I did want to ask you guys these two positions, then we'll get to players that you could pound the table on. But you brought tight end up. Okay, safety and edge. Safety was a position, Brian, you brought up in our group chat a couple of days ago. Edge, Aisha, you brought up today. Mm-hmm. Out of those two positions, where would you be comfortable taking one? Nick, I know for you, safety is not one you want, so you can start off with edge.
Yep.
And who is a player that you'd be eyeing?
So you're probably looking there on day three at edge. Man, if you pick up that fourth round pick and you're able to get Jalix Hunt, oh man, I'd be all in on that. I'd have a party in here on Saturday. But if you're looking more realistic with the picks that they do have right now, let's see. Let's take a look at these day three guys. I think there's a potential that you look at. Braden McGregor out of Michigan. That's kind of a guy. Brennan Jackson out of Washington State. Let's go Xavier Thomas out of Clemson, just because he's more of an athletic,
twitchier
yeah. guy. Like, he doesn't necessarily have the size, but he has that bend that can kind of get under some offensive tackles. He was originally a top recruit in the class of 18, I believe, which was my high school class. So it's 6 years ago. He's been in college, so he's been around the game a while. He brings a lot of experience. I think it's a product, you know what you're getting. Like, I don't think he's going to be an eventual starter, but I think that is a good replacement to bring in if you're looking for a guy to kind of fill that Dante Fowler Jr. role, in the sense that, hey, we just need to be able to rotate a body in
yeah.
on a passing down to be able to go be athletic on third down and be able to attack the quarterback.
It's funny that you brought up Thomas. When I watched him, I'm like, man, I wish I could take his bend and put it on Braylon Trice out of Washington.
Yeah.
And then you'd have a first-round edge right
yeah,
there with Braylon Trice.
1,000%.
That would be amazing. Okay, Brian, if you want to take edge, safety, both, whichever you prefer.
I'm going to tell you about an edge named Gabriel Murphy from UCLA. Is who I'm going to take.
This guy's almost said him. Yeah,
this guy's
ahead.
A transfer from North Texas, by the way. Might be a little undersized to play, but his strength, his hand use is impressive. The coaches move this guy around up and down the line. They find spots for him to rush. He made a play as a three technique in the USC game with a really nice quick move that beat the guard, tackle, and made a tackle behind the line of scrimmage. The first step that Aisha likes a lot, he's got explosiveness. He's disruptive in the running game. And he's got flexibility to bend off the edge. He can stay connected to the action. You don't see him kind of get knocked out of the play or pushed wide. Everybody talks about Latu at UCLA. Mm-hmm. Gabriel Murphy on the other side made his share of plays too. So if you're looking for one of those day three edge rushers at 6'2", 247, Gabriel Murphy's your guy. I mean, he can rush the passer, and I know he could play run defense. A little bit of completeness to his game.
Absolutely. It was great at the East-West Shrine Bowl. Yep. Nick and I know him pretty well. Bishop Lynch playing there with his twin brother. You mentioned going to North Texas. Yeah. Ka, baby. And then makes that transfer. Aisha, safety, edge, which side do you want to go with? I know we were talking about a player that I'm happy to discuss unless you want to take him.
I'm going
to
let you talk about it because I'm going to talk about a couple other guys. So for me when you look at that day three situation, I look at Cedric Johnson, edge out of Ole Miss, 6'3", 250.
Big time athlete.
They move him, like you said, you mentioned with Murphy, they move him all across the line. He can do it in multiple stances as well. So it stands out. Sometimes you see him with his hand in the dirt. Sometimes he's just standing. And he has good strength and balance. I like the backside pursuit from him. He rushes with speed to power. He has a couple of swipe and rip moves. He's very tall in his stance. So sometimes I do think he can lose his footing and play too tall, but I do think that if he just plays under control, a little bit more control, he has crazy closing speed, and just develops a little bit more discipline with his speed, because he's such a – his body is so – 6'3", 250 is crazy. So I think that he still is trying to figure out some of the balance parts of things, but I think he can be a good edge in this league with a little bit more discipline. I also look at – when you talk about safety, hey man – I watched Malik Mustafa.
I knew you were going to say that. I got the notes right in front of me.
Listen,
right now.
Listen, man, what a fun watch. Yeah. Did you enjoy him?
I know what safeties you like, and Mustafa is certainly up your alley.
He's a little Looney Tunes.
Yeah,
he is. I like me a safety.
Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
Him and Jaden Hicks, they've got that about him. Jaden Hicks, to me, is like a little Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, and he has some flex. I think playing some free safety as well, but this is a strong safety.
Yeah.
He's crazy as a blitzer. He has good bend to evade linemen when he's blitzing as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's constantly reading the QB's eyes, and he can get – I do think he can get a little aggressive downhill, but you know. But he can run. He covers a lot of ground. He's very scrappy. He makes plays in the run game. He's active, and he has read and react ability that you are looking for from a safety. Malik Mustafa is – I would love to have him on on your team.
Yeah, the last line of my notes was this guy has the right temperament for the position and who will make someone look smart who drafts him.
Yeah, he's a player.
This guy is a player.
He is. I'll go with the safeties here. I do think late rounds and maybe even undrafted free agent like Ryan Watts out of Texas or the Cowboys got a good look at.
Yeah.
Traits-wise, we talked about Dominic Hampton out of Washington.
Yes,
your guy, Brian,
I
did like a lot.
I like him.
Traits-wise, late in the draft. I'd consider safety as early as 56 for me because there's a player that I love, and I've talked about him early in the draft. And there's two. I'd consider Jaden Hicks there out of Washington State. I think he is absolutely fantastic, quick, aware, explosive downhill. I think he can be a special teams guy. I think he's like a Harrison Smith, Troy Polamalu style to his game that Mike Zimmer would absolutely unlock magic with. But to me, and this is a dude that I'd stand on the table for every day, I've got a first-round grade on him. I might be the only draft person in the world with a first-round grade on him. I don't care.
I'm okay with that.
He's being slept on like Antoine Winfield Jr. was a couple of years ago, but it's Javon Bullard out of Georgia. Saw action as a freshman at UGA, named defensive MVP of the national title game against TCU and the semifinal against Ohio State. He'll thump you. He's super physical. He's a guy that'll throw his body around, can come down. He'll cover the slot, sideline to sideline. He has a play versus Tennessee. He gets beat up the seam, but he reads the receiver, puts his hands up to break up the pass. He's one of those guys where it's just he's got a feel. He's got innate instincts and feel for the game, short area quickness. He's got recovery speed. Maybe that lacks a little bit when it comes to just straight line speed covering, you know, the deep half of the field, but I love Javon Bullard. I know he's undersized, and some guys are going to knock him for
that.
Oh,
no, you know who this is? This is Jalen Petrie. This is Jalen Petrie
from
you. If you're going
to
say
no,
that,
seriously. No, this is him. This kid
is flying around all over
the place. We talked about Petrie earlier. So, I think you brought his name up. Kid from Baylor in 2022, that draft. This kid's got the same kind of
I love him.
Traits.
I'd stand on the table for Bullard there. At 56, if you're wiped out, there's not a lot of players that you love, I'd go for it there. Okay, I know we got a show following up after us. This has been a blast.
Really quick, no.
We
have a new highest paid wide receiver in the NFL.
Did we just get something happen?
Yeah. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 4 years, $120 million, 77 guaranteed. The 120 is the most, $77 million guaranteed is the most, the annual value is the most. So the receiver market has been reset once again, one of many times.
What does that turn to a year, by the way? I'm sorry, quick math.
I need you to hurry up. We've got another show that's coming in.
What does that turn to what?
A year. What is that a year?
That would be 30 a year. So it's at more than 120, so I assume it's going to be right above Tyreek Hill's number. So he is the highest paid
I was
paid
told
wide receiver.
That the Tyreek Hill number really in reality is
it's like 27.
Is 25.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
25.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Instead of 30, it's 25.
Well, if you heard the presser yesterday, certainly CeeDee Lamb paying attention to that, and there'll be conversations. We'll have you all 3 days. This is going to be a blast. We'll be on the air at 6 o'clock tomorrow. DallasCowboys.com, 105.3 The Fan, night one of the NFL draft. We look forward to hanging out with you all 3 days. Until tomorrow.
I want to do it.
Hugs and hand pounds, everybody.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?